Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is Pastor Anderson with today's message.
But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We have to be very careful that we are now living in a day and time where the world wants us to be like the world. And God is saying, don't allow the world to squeeze you, but I want you to be transformed. But it starts on the inside. So this morning, I'm going to challenge you that if you're going to be committed to God, it starts on the inside. It has to be birth from the inside, and it overflows to the outside. Commitment is bigger than just coming to church. That's why I told my dad, Dad, you can come to church this morning. I know where you're going. I said, no, Dad, listen, hold on. No. Church is wherever I go. I said, no, Dad, that's not what I was going to say. What I'm trying to tell you, Dad, is that you have a relationship with God. You understand God's worth. God understands where you are. Dad, today, worship God at home. Altar before God and commit yourself. That's what we're talking about this morning, is committing ourselves to this idea of how do we take all that we are and give it to this holy God. Because truth be told, he demands everything. Why? He's given us everything in the form of Jesus Christ. So when people tell me, I want more of God, stop. He's given you all that you need in Jesus Christ. Well, I want more of the Spirit. Theologically, you have everything you need in the Spirit. The issue is, can you give yourself to the Spirit? That's the struggle we have every day. It's not that, God, I want more. And God is saying, listen, I've given you the Holy Spirit, but have you given yourself to me? And if we're honest this morning, there are some parts of us that we have not fully given to God. Can you be real this morning? I know those parts that I haven't. And God's been revealing it to me as I deal with this idea of spiritual act of worship. Because it could be my ego. It could be my pride. It could be my finances. It could be my marriage. It could be my fatherhood. And God is saying, what part of you, Pastor, have you not fully given over to me? Because that's the part I want. So this morning, commitment. And there is pressure from every direction to force us to conform to the mindset and the spirit of this age. Social media, pressure. TV, pressure. Community, pressure. In the workplace, pressure. In the ministry, pressure. Hey, how many of you have? I have who Jesus gave me. No, how many? What's your numbers look like? They look like what they look like. No, how many people coming every Sunday? No. How many disciples are we making? How many people are we producing that look and act like Jesus and they will leave this place? Because the problem is we think this is the only place that we can worship God. This is a sacred space where God has called us as the body of Christ to worship corporately. But what are we doing when we commit ourselves to God that when we leave out this place, our neighbor knows that we love Jesus? The people in the barbershop know that we love Jesus. The people on our job know that we love Jesus. We have pressure. Pressure at the local restaurants. Pressure in the business world. Pressure at social gatherings. This challenge is not new, and Daniel faced the same challenge. And I believe that's why the Holy Spirit is leading us back to Daniel chapter 1. So when we look at this idea of Daniel and his commitment, when we look at the book, the entire book the theme is the sovereignty of God in all things. That when we read through the book of Daniel, we have to understand that God is showing his sovereignty through everything that's written in his book. So when I'm studying, I'm asking myself, I know what that means, but do the people know what that means? So this word sovereignty is the right or authority to exercise total control over a person, people, situation, or place. God is sovereign, exercising his sovereign right over us. And what I love about God is he will never force us to do anything. He's that good of a God. But even when he doesn't force us through his sovereignty, through the good and the bad, through our sins, he's still in control of everything, and that's shown in the book of Daniel. Because when we meet Daniel, and when we meet his friends, in verse 8, what we fail to realize is that in verse 1 through 7, Daniel and his friends are now in captivity. And the reason why they are in captivity is because of the sins of Jerusalem. I want to keep pressing this in your face this morning. Be careful of your personal sins. I love it this way. What is done in the dark will soon come to light. Your character is not what we see every day, but it's what you do and who you are when we don't see you. And when we commit, God will show you, hey, your character is not up to par, Pastor. So be careful, Pastor, how you treat the sheep. Pastor, be careful how you speak to the sheep. Pastor, be careful how you shepherd your parents. Pastor, be careful. Commitment. And even though these guys sin in Jerusalem, God says this, I'm going to turn you over to King Nebuchadnezzar and to Babylon, and Babylon represents the world. So now the king takes the children of Israel, verse 2, the bottom half, he takes vessels out of God's house. Verse 3, he takes the royal family and some of the nobles, and he brings them now to Babylon. And the whole idea is to transform them so they will no longer look like God's people, but to look like the world. That's the spirit of this age, is that every day this world wants you to look like the world, and God wants you to look like him. So we have to be very careful that we don't allow the world to turn slowly from God to look like the world. There are some things that you just have to stand on, and it will not cause you to be popular. But I realize I'm not pastoring and preaching for a popularity contest. I'm pastoring and preaching because God called me. And with the call comes a responsibility. And with the responsibility comes accountability. God called you. God took you out of darkness, and he placed you in the marvelous light. And now there's accountability. There's the call that he called you out from the world. He placed you in the kingdom. There's accountability on your life. It's roll call. How does your accountability look this morning? Does it look more like the world? Are you compromising your convictions? Or are you looking like God's people? Here we go, verse 4. The youth. The youth that they took had no defect. Good looking. Showing intelligence. They was endowed with understanding. They could discern knowledge. They were able to serve in the king's court. And then for 3 years, they wanted to train them to think like Babylonians. And that's the spirit of this world, that the world is trying to train us to think like the world. But the only way that you can think like God is Romans 1 and 2, that you have to renew your mind with the word of God. And that is why it's so important that every day we get up, we train ourselves according to the scripture, that we slow down long enough that we engage God in prayer and we engage God through his word, because you can't get up and say, God, speak to me, and never get in the word. God will speak to you, and he will use his word to conform the things that he is speaking. And that's why it's so imperative that we get into his word. Verse 5, the king takes these men, and then he appoints for them a daily ration from the king's choice food, the wine which he drank, and he educated them for 3 years. But I love Daniel. Daniel, verse 8 says, listen, I'm making up my mind. I'm not defiling myself with that. I'm not drinking. Hey, commander, I'm asking for your permission. Can you test us for 10 days? Can you just give us veggies and water for 10 days? And after 10 days, look at us and see if our appearance is fairer than those who ate from the king's table. And what you have to understand is that this commander is put in a bad position. Because if Daniel and his friends look worse than those who ate from the king's table, the commander's head will be chopped off. But God gives Daniel favor, and Daniel commits. So I want to give this definition again of commitment. It literally means I give. A personal commitment is to give yourself to a person, that's God, or thing under consideration. So this summer, will you give yourself to God fully? Will you commit all that you are to Him for your usefulness in His kingdom? And that's what Daniel did. So last week, quick review. First thing we found out is that we need to determine early in our life and heart that we would not compromise our commitment nor our conviction. You got to start early. And that's why it's so important that we take children and we tell them about commitment early. Because they can commit to sports. They can commit to studying. They can commit to making an honor roll. Let's get them committed to the Word of God. Because at the end of the day, that honor roll certificate, it'll be thrown in the trash. Those plaques and all that stuff I receive in sports, they're still at my mother's house. I went and got all that stuff, half the stuff Aaron and Kiki never knew about. Dad, what's all that stuff? It's just junk. Dad, what's all these letters from the NFL? Junk. Dad, look at all these scholarship offers. Junk. You've been there, coach. It's just junk. It's major when we're young. But when you turn 46, 56, 80, it's just junk. But this, it was keeping us every single day of our lives. And that's why it's so important that we start Carter off and understanding the Word of God so that he can make a commitment to God early on in his life and in his heart, and that he will not compromise on his convictions when he gets to school. So how are we compromising? Daniel said, I'm not compromising. I'm not eating. And it began with a determination. You have to be determined not to compromise. How's your compromise this morning? So 3 years he was trained by Babylonians, 3 years educated, 3 years in isolation from his home, 3 years away from his family, 3 years of them trying to wear him down, 3 years of indoctrination, 3 years of assimilation, 3 years of confusion. They're trying to get Daniel to commit himself to the Babylonian gods, but Daniel determined not to commit to them, but to commit to his holy God. Here's the second thing that I want you to see this morning, and we didn't discuss this. You have to trust God to honor your devotions, your commitment, and your faithfulness to Him. Trust God. That's easier said than done. But you have to trust God to honor your devotion to Him, to honor your commitment and faithfulness to Him. So let's look at this. Verse 14. So proceeding verse 14, Daniel chose not to eat from the king's table. And watch what happens. He chose not to eat. Verse 14. So the commander listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better and they were fatter than all the youth who have been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink and kept giving them vegetables. We missed this. For 3 years, they kept eating veggies and drinking water. Can you see yourself for 3 years making that kind of commitment when your peers are doing everything else. Let's get real today. Your peers hitting the club, they doing all that. But you going to church, you faithfully serving God. Your peers in the club getting out, driving the best of cars. You going to church, but you trying to see who's seeing you because your car's smoking. Your peers in the club, they doing their thing. They got all the money. But then you going to church and you look in your wallet and you only see ones and fives. Your peers in the club, and drinking and doing their thing. But you're faithfully coming to church and you're faithfully serving God for 3 years, but you're watching them and how they're living in the world and they seem like they're being blessed. See, you seem like they're being blessed. They seem like they're being blessed. Can I say it again? It seems like they're being blessed.
Yes, sir.
But reckoning day is coming. And that's why the scripture says, what profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? See, I may not get all that stuff on this side, but when I die, my soul is well. See, you can't buy your way into heaven. If you believe there's a heaven and a hell, I don't care what you do on this side, you can't buy your way in. But through your loyalties and your convictions and your uncompromising spirit that you determine, I don't care what they do, I don't care how blessed they are, I am going to remain faithful to my God. I'm going to show you why. The danger is watching them. That's the danger of the Christian. Is watching them, not them, but them. And watching D-E-D-E-M, them gets us in trouble. You gotta be careful about watching them. My pastor said this, oh my God, I love my pastor, 40 years. And I've been telling Minister Holmes, so much perspective now. Because when I was in the second chair as the assistant, there was so much he would tell me I didn't understand. But when you put the shoes on, you understand. When you're the D-line coach, why coach doing that? You go with your boy, man, coach stupid. Come on, let's be real. Coach don't know what he's talking about. But when you became the head coach, oh, wow. Man, I see what coach was doing. I see why coach was setting the stage. When you was assistant, it didn't matter. But when you walked in those shoes, didn't everything change? Everything. He just told me on the trip, he said, man, these young guys want to be head coaches, they better stay assistants. Because when you become a head coach, everything changed. Because it's all on you. And where I'm going is, stop watching them. Do what God called you to do, because God has given you ability and the capacity to do what you're doing. Stay devoted and committed to Him, and let God bless you. So my pastor said, son, remember this. Don't get caught up on the bodies in the seats. And he said something so profound. He said, because every church is not God's church. He said, there are some churches that belong to the devil. Wisdom. He said, you see all the crowds? He said, but that's the devil's church. And you want a church that will stand the test of time. He's saying, that's what we get fooled with in the pews. Because we see all the people, we see all the light shows, we see all that. But there's no life change when they leave. That the same way people come in is the same way people come out. But we are so hooked on having a mega church in the biggest church, and sometimes the biggest fools are in the biggest churches. So, son, slow down. Let God mature your church. I'm encouraging me this morning. Because there are some times I come in, I want all these seats to be filled. But at the end of the day, are we producing life-changing disciples who will go back out and say, listen, I'm committed. I don't care what you do.
Yes.
Be committed. And here's why. Four things will happen when you're committed. Here's the first one. Let's put this on the screen, Aaron. In verse 14 through 16, God bless them physically. How do I know? It's in the text. Verse 15, they were fatter than all the youth who had ate from the king's table. Woo! Not fat as in overweight. They were healthier. That God blessed them physically. I want God to bless me physically. I want Him to bless me that with all the responsibility I have, because I'm committed to Him, He's just going to continue to touch my body.
Amen.
He's going to continue to breathe life into me. He's going to enable me to do the things that He's called me to do because I'm committed to Him and He's blessing me physically. He's given faith. favor to Daniel and his friends. He's giving them favor by allowing the king to continue to serve them veggies and water for 3 years. If you want God to bless you physically, stay faithful to him. That doesn't mean you won't get sick. That doesn't mean you won't have opposition. But I want God to bless my physical body, that my body will hold up under all the pressure that is in my life, that I may continue to do his will. So again, Coach and I talking on the trip. He said, E, do you realize we don't look like we used to look? And I was like, yeah, Coach, you bald-headed. You know, he was really talking to me, but I was just shooting back at him. So he said, no, seriously. He said, but God has blessed us physically that we're not sick and we can do the things God has called us to do. You know why I use him a lot? I'm getting off. This is why church is so valuable, that you can lock arms with people like this and people like Sean when we go to eat and seven cup of hair, and we can sharpen each other. But what we don't do at the church is we don't do that. We come in, whoop, whoop, gone, we go home. And we know no needs. But God wants to bless you physically. He blessed them physically. Here's the second thing. God blessed them mentally. Verse 17. As for these four youth, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. And the verse 20, as for the matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the musicians who were in his realm. God will bless you so good mentally, you'll be 10 times better.
Yes.
Woo, I want to be 10 times better. I want to be 10 times better in all aspects that God can trust me because I'm devoted and I'm committed. Watch this. They were so much better that if you read the whole book, the king started entrusting them with more. Then when God started blessing us physically and mentally, he'll start saying, now you've been praying for this crystal. Here's the platter.
Yes.
What you want from it.
Yes.
You, I can trust you.
Yes.
I was just trying to groom you up.
Yes.
And I allowed you to experience hardship in another. But you're ready now.
Yes.
Here's the platter. Choose what you want. So he blessed them physically. He blessed them mentally. But here's the third thing. He blessed them spiritually. How do I know? It's right there in verse 17. As for these four youth, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. That's spiritual right there. Please don't miss this. God blessed Daniel spiritually to understand vision and dreams in chapter 1. God gave it to him in chapter 1. Daniel started exercising his spiritual gifts in chapter 2. Woo, I got excited when I read that, because God will give you gifts in chapter 1 of your life that you may not use until chapter 2 of your life. And then chapter 4 of your life. And then chapter 5 of your life. And then chapter 9 of your life. And then chapter 10. Daniel used all the spiritual gifts later on in his life for 70 years to glorify God, to be in second place, that God will bless him. God will bless you spiritually. You don't need to rush. Chillax. I'm in Latin America, tranquilo. And if I'm talking to a female, tranquila, chill, just stay committed. He's giving you these gifts. It may not be the season to use the gift, but the season is coming when the gift will flourish. Just stay committed and allow God to bring the gifts out. Here's the danger in the church, and I'm almost done. We try to force the issue and force the season when God's saying, this ain't the right season. So yesterday, we went to a wedding. I really wanted to go home, but I had to go. We went to the wedding, not because I was forced, but because a kid who was in the youth ministry, and when I was youth director, was getting married, and we were so excited for him. So we go to this wedding. I mean, it's, ooh, beautiful. Ooh, I mean, man, I was like, ooh, who paid for this? And we missed it, man. We need to go back and get remarried. It was so nice. I'm watching everything, and then at the end, the father pulled me to the side. He said, hey, how's your mother? I said, so-and-so, it's a struggle. He said, really? So he's listening. He said, hey, I've been there. He said, I'm going to tell you something, and you remember this. He said, I stewarded the relationship with my mother for 2 years until she died. He said, most people would never understand. He said, if they've never been to it, through it, what they're going to do is judge you. They're going to talk about what you should do and what you shouldn't do. He said, but they ain't the one. He said, they're going to have all these different perspectives, but they never have the inside information. He said, don't worry about what they say.
Yes.
You do what you need to do. He said, because I can tell you in retrospect, there are a lot of things I would do differently. I would have slowed down. I would have backed up a little bit more. He said, because when my mom died, I was spent. It was a burden lifted, but there were times I would just drive down the freeway and just cry from exhaustion and because I miss mama. He said, but here's where I'm going. He said, but trust me, pastor. He turned the tables on me. He said, everything you're going through, God's going to use it for the sheep.
Yes.
You're just in chapter 1. Chapter 2, chapter 4, and chapter 9 are coming. So this is spiritual.
Yes.
And you can't know and understand and sympathize or empathize with the sheep if you don't smell like them and you don't know what they're going through.
Yes.
So can I just drop this in for free? Be careful how you make judgments on people when you're not in their shoes.
Yes. Yes.
We don't know what they're going through. And here's the fourth thing. God blessed them socially. He blessed them socially. Verse 8:21. Then at the end of the days, which the king has specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before King Nebuchadnezzar. And the king talked with them. And out of all of them, there was no one found like Daniel or his friends. So they entered the king's personal service. Did you get that? Personal. Here's this Babylonian king. He said, no, you boys, nobody like you. Personal. Verse 20, as for every matter of wisdom, understanding, about which the king consulted them, he found them to be 10 times better than all the musicians and all who were in this kingdom. Verse 21, and Daniel continued to the first year of Cyrus, the king. So watch this. Daniel, I believe, served under three kings. If I'm wrong, I'll come back and tell you next week. I believe it was three kings. 70 years he was committed. Didn't waver in his commitment. And God blessed him socially. That when you don't waver, God will put you in prominent positions socially for his glory. About Daniel, it was about God. The whole story of the Bible is about God. God is the hero in every single story. This story, God's the hero. Because at the end, God wins. And in your life, if you commit it, God wins. Say committed at Wells Fargo, he wins. On your job, he wins. At North Shore, when them boys just go crazy, you stay committed. Because they're going to watch how committed you are, God wins.
Yes.
Barbershop, when they talk about all kinds of stuff, you committed, he wins.
Yes.
When you're traveling and you all up and down Italy, and where was I standing? Paris. Yeah. Anyway, that's another story. But when you committed while you're traveling, people will see God's commitment in him, they'll be blessed. At the school, they'll see it. And here's the number one person that needs to see it.
Thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.